Hey guys, this is Sam Wallace. Before this episode starts with Brandon and Sam, I just want to give you guys my thoughts because this was a very special game for Hurricanes history, I think. And boy, was it fun. I was at the game, if you can't tell from the sound of my voice, but just what an amazing comeback this game was. Being down 3-0. I became a fan when the Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup, and that was the time, or I would say probably the last time, the Hurricanes were able to come back from a 3-0 deficit. But I don't really remember a lot of games, except obviously the Canes winning the Cup from that year, but which is why I think this game is so important for us Canes fans to experience, because this marks history, I think, in the Hurricanes game book. And they really came back at the start of, I would say, probably midway in the second period, I thought. Because they really did play, overall, I thought, a better game than the Islanders. Especially compared to the first game. And just amazing, amazing comeback. I hope Brett Pesce's okay. From what I've heard, it's not looking too good, but if we have D'Angelo in the lineup, I know he might have his defensive problems. That's why you have him, though. You need the depth. You know there are going to be injuries, and now there is an injury. It's unfortunate that it's Pesce. I'm sure there's an update probably around this time you listen to this or already has been on Brett Pesce. But overall, I am very, very happy that we had come back to win this game. Did I have my doubts? Absolutely, but I know I'm not the only one. What an amazing victory this was. And now here's the episode with Sam Driscoll and Brandon from The Warning Take.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Caniac Report. And you know what, Brandon?
What's that, Sam?
I don't want to watch quite another game like this again.
No, I want that to be a special moment in Hurricanes history, and I never want to repeat it.
Coming to you from the heart of Canes country, this is the Caniac Report, your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes, hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, we're back with another episode of the Caniac Report, and I've got my friend Brandon here from The Warning Take, because Sam Wallace went to the game tonight, and I watched at home with some friends. And Brandon, I have a lot of emotions right now.
Yeah, I'm glad we waited a few minutes to get this started. I'm kind of glad your computer was updating because I needed some time to quantify my thoughts. I watched a few minutes of the Oilers and Kings just to kind of like take my mind off of what I had just saw. I needed to watch some hockey that I had no emotional investment in. The thing that was funny about that game, I have never seen such a dominant effort yield such a lack of results, at least not for us in the playoffs. At least not at home, because the sequence we had at the end of the second period there, that any other team in the league probably would have scored. And for some reason, we didn't. I was just like, I don't know how this is going to turn out if this keeps going. But it was definitely an identity game for the Canes. They turned it into a war of attrition through speed. They didn't let the Islanders get under their skin. We really saw that at the end of the game. The stuff that Brock Nelson and Kyle Palmieri were doing was completely unnecessary at that point. But yet there's people saying that Carolina's dirty, Carolina dives, and all this other stuff. But yet the game's clearly over at that point. Gensel potted the empty netter. He didn't turn around and say nothing to Brock Nelson. He just skated on about his business. Brock Nelson gave him the axe a couple extra times after the whistle. And they just started everything that they could at the end. And then they're handing out misconducts to try and keep the game under control in the last few seconds. Yet we've been hearing this idiotic narrative that they said Jacob Slavin, of all people, a guy who won a Lady Bing in a 56-game season with a grand total of 2 penalty minutes, and it was for a delay of game puck over glass penalty, is diving. And I'm wondering how many of these people have ever actually been on skates before, because when you whack someone in that part of the leg, there's padding there nowadays. There used to not be. The modern shin pads happen, but it's not much.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, he clearly was able, and this is the thing. It's like, okay, say he dove, it's still a penalty. Like, say he sold it. Mm-hmm. It's a penalty. Like,
yeah.
Why are you complaining? That's a penalty whether he falls down or not. It's a penalty.
Yeah.
You slashed him.
But yeah.
Before we get to the game, we can let the nerves calm down just a little bit. Would like to tell everybody, if you want to go enjoy the Cardiac Canes, we are brought to you by SeatGeek. Use promo code CANIACREPORT and get yourself $20 off tickets to go see the Carolina Hurricanes for your first time purchase. Because who wouldn't want to go enjoy a game like that, sit on the edge of your seat and have your heart palpitating the whole time? Dude, now that that is out of the way, real quick NHL news. Lindy Ruff hired from the Buffalo Sabres. I don't know if that moves the needle. I know he was like their coach in their heydays. I don't think that's the guy they need. I think the guy they need is Woodcroft to unlock the Tage Thompsons of the world. But I guess real quick, before we get to the game, quick thoughts, if you've had any chance to digest on Lindy Ruff going to Buffalo.
Honestly, like, the Sabres are one of those teams that I look at and I'm like, okay, what do they need to do to take the next step? They're kind of stuck in the same situation we were about seven seasons ago. And you're at that point where it's like, you're not good enough to make the playoffs, but you're not good enough to get a top three pick. I mean, they're just kind of stuck in that little no man's land type of territory. I don't know if Lindy Ruff is going to be the solution for them, because, you know, there's a lot of teams you can look at and say, okay, they're a general manager or a coaching change away from being good, or they're a couple of trades or signings away from being good. With Buffalo, I don't know what the solution is for them. I don't know if there's a roster deficiency there or if it's a coaching deficiency or what, but I guess it couldn't hurt to try something different. And he has a good relationship with the organization. And if worse comes to worse, he's a coach, not a player. You don't have to buy him out. You can just fire him and get a new one.
Yeah, which is true. And I guess the only Hurricanes news to talk about real quick, because it's came out after the game, but we'll insert it in the beginning. Brett Pesce's out. There is already speculation. I saw, I think, Griff from Caniac Session said, word on the street is he tore his Achilles. If that's so, he's out not only for the playoffs, he will be out for a chunk of the beginning of the season, if not half of the season. That is it's a long-term injury, and it's unfortunate for a guy who has given his all for this team. And we've been critical. You've been critical of Pesce. I've been critical of Pesce. Everyone's been pretty critical of him this season. Contract year. But for a guy who has given his all to this organization for his entire career, get taken out of it in round one. Because if that is the case, we don't know. Hopefully it's not. He comes back. But if that's the case for him, get taken out is an it's sad.
It is. If this is the end of his time as a Hurricane, that's a horrible way for it to end. So that 25th anniversary sweater I got behind me, that was originally supposed to have Pesce's name on it, but I couldn't find a blank one. So I bought one from the eye with Slavin's name on it. Pesce is one of my favorite defensemen of all time. And he is someone who plays heart and soul. He's physical. He blocks shots. He plays a very arduous game. And we wouldn't be where we are without him. He was a large part of getting out of the drought and having the playoff success we've had over the last few seasons. I hope it's not too serious, but we have depth. So,
yeah,
in that regard, we will be okay.
Yeah, we have options. I expect it to be Tony.
I think so, too.
And to be honest, the way Burns has continued to play, I don't know if I don't put him there and bump Burns down, but we can get into Burns' game as we go on. But we'll start kind of talking about the game. We'll go into the first period. Honestly, I would say Carolina dominated through most of that period. Just complete control, and somehow that's not how the game looked after the first.
Yeah. So one thing I mentioned on the little previews and stuff that I did, I said the Islanders were going to try to score greasy goals and work into the interior of the ice, because they knew they weren't going to get clean looks on our defense because they're too good at keeping them on the perimeter and keeping them from getting to the middle. One of the guys who makes a difference in that regard is Bo Horvat, because he really likes to shoot from the high slot, and he's one of the best ones at it. He has one of the best finishing wristers in the game, especially from that position. So one of those goals tonight happened that way. Their other two were greasy. They were doing everything that they could do to win. This was not for a lack of effort on the part of the Islanders. They basically threw their kitchen sink at the Canes, and the Canes threw a bigger kitchen sink back at them, and they never quit. That was one thing I was really happy about with them. The entire time I was frustrated with that game, but I was like, there was one point I'm like, do I really want to watch this? And I go, wait, no, they're not done yet. And they just kept pressing. They kept forechecking. They had all those dominant sequences, and I'm like, there's no way the Islanders are going to hold up. They're playing Red Rover in front of their own net. Eventually, some of these pucks are going to get through. So, and that's what eventually happened.
Yeah, I mean, you play in that first period, you're like, all right, we're gonna get one. We're gonna get one. And it is a goal. I'm gonna say Freddie's probably gonna want back. He didn't have it covered, he didn't see it. I don't know. You can blame it on Freddie. I think that's a fair argument. You can blame it on the defense, not getting the puck out. I think that's fair. Either way, Islanders get a greasy one, like you said, and they get one that's very lucky, I think, as well, because I thought Freddie had it. And
I did
initially,
too.
because I didn't see where the puck came out of, I thought it was goalie interference. I thought the Islanders stuck his stick right between his pads and poked it in. I'm like, well, that's interference. I've seen that goal called off when Carolina's done it. But no, it just kind of sat there. So unlucky. Freddie probably would like to have that one back. But Carolina didn't. I would say didn't give up even after that. They went down and they kept playing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And somehow again, they almost tied it in the third, or sorry, to end the first. And it was, I think, Barzal ripped it past Freddie to make it 2-0 instead to end the first period.
No, it was that was Horvat that
Horvat,
did
okay.
that. That's why I was talking about Horvat likes to set up in the high slot, and he's one of the most
Yep.
dangerous guys shooting from that position. The moment that that puck went to him, I'm like, that's going in, even before he finished. So
He's a Kane killer too. He's been very successful against Carolina in
yes,
his career.
he is.
And so is Barzal. I mean, the top guys for the Islanders have played well against Carolina. And they played well tonight. They did. I mean, they had a good game taking advantage of not a lot of opportunities because, let's be honest, I don't think the Islanders had a shot through the first 10 plus minutes of the game, or it was very close to that.
It was something like that. I think there was 9:30 remaining or something like, no, I take that back. They had two shots through, I think, the first 16 minutes and then five in the last four, and they scored on two of them, if I remember correctly. They just capitalized on what few opportunities they did get. And like I said, we hit the post five times in that game. Like that, the score was not indicative of how it actually went.
No, not well. No, I mean, honestly, I would no, not the, how that score went in the first. No, I would say the score of the overall game. I don't think that is far off from how well we played. Should it have been like 9-3?
I think so.
Probably 10-3. That's probably more fair. But I think 5-3 is pretty, that's the right outcome for this game.
Yes, I agree.
And then you go into the second period and you're kind of feeling deflated if you're a fan. You dominated that game. Griff said it in the group chat we have. I don't know how we're down two after that period because it was one of the Hurricane. They played better in that first period than they did against the Islanders in game one at any
Yes.
point in time. At any point in time.
And I think I said something about that in the group chat. I'm like, I feel better now than I ever did at any point during game one. Because during the first 40 minutes of game one, I'm like, oh man, are we going to be on fraud watch after this? And then, they managed to pull it out and get it done. But we've seen the best that the Islanders can offer on the road both games and won both of them. Now, what we'll have to be prepared for with game three, they're going to lay the body every single chance they get, and they'll do it a second late if they have to. They're going to try and swing the game or swing the series back in their direction with the way that they play.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly worried about a team that lost that much in overtime during the regular seasons, excuse me, regular season as the Islanders did, because they were having trouble closing out games 5-on-5, and that's why they had a hard time making the playoffs in the first place. 3-on-3 is not a factor once you get to the postseason. So I'm really impressed with the effort the guys came up. Even Burns, like we were going to talk about, I didn't think he played the best tonight. It was actually kind of troublesome at times.
I don't know what's up with him. And I mean, I'll say, as you get into the second, I felt the second period, he didn't get better, he got worse. I thought he was okay in the first. I actually didn't have any problems with him in the first, but I felt like there was some mismanagement, mishandling of the puck, his inability to settle it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he mismanaged it at the blue line a couple times. Like, I'm not saying, like, this game I don't think was as glaring as last game, and I talked with someone else, and they were like, I didn't really see anything with Burns. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what game you were watching. Burns almost cost a goal. Even Adam Gold, who is a friend of the podcast, didn't blame Burns for that one goal. And I was like,
yeah, that was totally on him. It's just like and the other funny thing about it is it's like Burns, you know, when he's comfortable, when he's carrying the puck and everything, he uses his frame and, you know, protects the puck and everything and, you know, makes good entries and everything like that to generate some offense. He makes really good stretch passes and everything. He wasn't doing much of that tonight. He looked like he was playing hot potato every time that he had possession of it. He just didn't look as confident as he normally does when he has the puck.
No.
So, I mean, he didn't even really impress me on the power play too much because there's a lot of situations that looked like where he normally shoots and he was hesitating. So I don't know what was up with him tonight. Hopefully he's not like that in game three, but if he is, Tony's probably going to be in the lineup. And if you got to adjust the power play units, because that needs to stay hot, not just for this series, but for ones that we could potentially be in later down the road, you might want to think about throwing him back in there. There's a bunch of different things.
You have options, and it would be a mistake for Rod not to recognize you have options on the power play. But going into the second, speaking of the power play, Islanders get one. And Anders Lee, another guy who plays pretty well against Carolina, gets a goal, takes it 3-0. And at this point, you're like, you've got to be kidding. We have dominated this game, every facet of this game. We have hit the post, I think at this point, maybe two times. And somehow it is 3-2, and it is just miserable. And you have to wait 10 minutes for Carolina to get a power play and for Teravainen to get a greasy goal, because that was not easy. He was battling on the front. He got it, empty net. There was no way Varlamov, not on the goalie. Great, hardworking goal. Varlamov from Jake and Jarvis. And you're like, okay, you know, it's 3-1. We'll see what happens at this point. I'm not convinced, you know, because it's just been a frustrating game. But before we get to the fun period, we're going to take a second and hear from our sponsors.
The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beers all the way to the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boo Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 24. All rights reserved.
All right, so now, Brandon, this is the fun period. This is the third period. But they stressed us out for the first 10 minutes because nothing happened. And you wait 10 minutes, you get a absolute wicked snipe from Seth Jarvis to make it 3-2. And at this point, you're like, okay, more than enough time left to get this game tied.
Jarvis was our best player tonight, in my opinion. He was at least our best forward. I
would say the best forward tonight was Kotkaniemi.
He definitely set the tone. And see, that was one of the things that I was thinking for him to get back to his game is he needed to get back to the physical part. And he laid out Cal Clutterbuck of all people. He knocked his bucket off. That was one of those things where it was just kind of like, even though that was before any goals were scored, if I remember correctly, or it may have been 1-0. KK definitely played his game. I recognized him a lot more. He doesn't want to come out of the lineup again.
No.
I just wish he could find that consistency. You know, we've talked about it before, like how Nate just went to see a sports psychologist. I think KK would benefit from that too. But yeah, that Jarvis snipe, that was insane.
It was a great shot, and you're like, okay, we got a chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just you wait 7 more minutes, and Carolina takes timeout, pulls the goalie. Rod's giving him a quick pep talk, pulls out the whiteboard. They go to work down in the Islander zone, and they're grinding and they're grinding. And Sebastian Aho, who in my mind has been not good through the first 2 games, and I would still categorize him in this game as not good, becomes good at the most important point of this game and gets you tied. Because this is game 2 at home. You will lose home ice advantage if you lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
Gets this game tied, so at least you have a chance to go to overtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've not been too particularly fond of his game the last 2 games. And I'm a really big Sebastian Aho fan, but I do have to say it's like one of the narratives around him is that he disappears in the playoffs. And most of tonight, except for when he scored the game-tying goal, that was kind of a accurate statement. But he definitely got it done when he needed to get it done. But it was almost the same thing as in the Toronto game where he was the one who scored the 2 that tied it. I mean, one of the deflections was even similar, but like in that game, I thought he was invisible the entire time. And then he turned it on at the end and got it done. I would like to see him play a little bit more complete throughout the playoffs because we're going to need him to if we're going to win. Mm-hmm. So I definitely am glad that he scored and he got an assist after that on the empty netter. But he's got to be better or we're not going to make it long.
No, and I'm hoping this galvanized him to just go out and tear it up in New York because Carolina has played pretty darn good in Long Island this year. We have not lost in Long Island this year. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the regular season, we won both in Long Island and lost both in Carolina. Now we've Correct. Won both in Carolina. So if you think we can't lose in Long Island, if we can't win in Long Island, you do not watch this team because this team has done that exact same thing twice this year. Mm-hmm. We did it once last year, and we did it twice the last time we played New York. So we mm-hmm. have only lost once in Long Island.
Yes.
In the playoffs, one time, and 3 attempts so far. This is the mm-hmm. third, so we'll see what happens. But Jordan Martinook makes tonight enjoyable, makes it a miracle comeback, scores the game-winning goal at 17:54 to make it 4-3, and the Islanders are shell-shocked. They do not know what hit them. They are stunned beyond belief. They put up zero fight for the last couple of minutes, and Carolina gets an empty net goal from Jake Guentzel to make it 5-3, and then the Islanders pull some shenanigans at the end.
Yeah, but we're the dirty team, right?
Yeah,
we're the dives dirty all team. Over, you know, Jacob yeah. Slavin diving.
Yeah, we're the divers. We're the team that, you know, soft, whatever, right? And the Islanders, I mean, Steph Nason had to stand up for himself twice tonight. And mm-hmm. we didn't even talk about the fight. But mm-hmm. that was, I mean, I think that may have given the Islanders life. But even if it did, again, I don't think the Islanders played that good after the fight.
I don't think they played that good during the game at all.
No, I think the Islanders got a very, very lucky goal for the first one. I think it was an unbelievable shot from Horvat for the second. And the third was, I'm blanking on how they scored the third. Was it a tip? The
third one was the power play goal.
Yes. And it's like, okay, well, it's a power play. You should score on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
There are really no points where the Islanders had sustained pressure for very long. They technically got a fourth briefly, but that was very clearly high-sticked in, and the ref saw that and waved it off immediately.
Yeah, Saint Laurent immediately. He didn't even, you know how they'll emphatically point at the goal? He just shook his head and he, you know, did the high-stick motion immediately. And everyone, Burns, Anderson, everybody was like immediately saying high-stick. Like, that wasn't even a question. Like, anybody sitting from anywhere watching it on TV or at the game, there's no way that you don't call that a high stick.
No, I mean, not at all. And I've seen some of the stuff that you've posted on X with the Islanders fans. And I will say that I am amused And I find that stuff very enjoyable because, just saying, New York got cocky.
They did.
Their fans got cocky. And to me, it's just like, I was worried and like I was concerned. I wasn't sure we could make a comeback. And it's hard to come back down three. And it's hard for any team, even teams that have like a McDavid or Matthews on their team, who are just guys who can put the puck in the net at will. It's not easy, but if you're playing a team like Carolina, like Edmonton, like Colorado, we saw that happened almost happened to Winnipeg the other night, right? You sleep on the team and you're going to regret it. And the Islanders had no sustained pressure. They played the rest of that game, basically after that third goal in their zone. I don't care what goalie's in net. That's not going to work out so well for you.
Yeah, and it's like people ask me, before every playoff series, no matter who we play, they ask me, are you worried? And I always say yes. Reason being is because these are the best hockey players in the world, but they're also playing against the other best hockey players in the world. And the amount of parity between one who's considered really good and one who's not that good is not nearly as much as people think that it is in the grand scheme of things. So it doesn't matter if we had been playing the Islanders, the Penguins, the Caps. I was going to be concerned about it, and that's why I remember I was on AB's stream a few weeks ago before the other Sam jumped on there, and he said he asked me, who would you like to have for a first round matchup? And I said, it doesn't matter because the Hurricanes can beat anybody. They need to maintain the foundation of their game, make adjustments as needed. But at the end of the day, if you don't think you can beat every team in the league, you will not win a cup. So they have to believe that they can beat anybody. If you are in the finals against a significantly over the cap Vegas, you have to believe you can beat them or you won't beat them. If you're up against Connor McDavid and the Oilers, you have to believe that you can shut him, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, et cetera, down, or you will not win. So that was the thing, is like, don't take any series lightly, but don't think that any series is a death sentence either. That's your best chance.
Yeah, I mean, and this team is good enough to beat anybody in the league, and they can hang with anybody in the league. And they just play hard and they got to play their game. And if they do that, they can get this done. And I think in four or five games with the Islanders, because I don't think it kind of takes me back. What just happened takes me back to what happened with the Vegas and Caps series the year the Caps won the Stanley Cup. If you remember, I believe Holtby had just an elite save on a wide open net. And that was basically it. Vegas, Caps took over, right? And that was the game. This reminded me a little bit of that. Carolina just demoralized the Islanders. There is no way to say that anything else other than they just got shell-shocked, demoralized in a game they should have won, because you are up 3-0. I don't care if you've played poor hockey the whole game, you are up 3-0. You close it out. You find a way to close it out. And the Islanders were completely incapable of closing that game out, and they desperately needed to do that. And Sam Wallace is back from the game. He's standing behind me, a little tired, I think. So I'll let him just kind of stand there while we finish up.
He probably ain't got no voice.
No, he probably
Hell,
doesn't
I
have any
barely
voice.
have one, and I wasn't there. I felt like I was though.
I guess real quick, we'll preview a little bit of the next game because I think that's kind of important given we might be without Brett Pesce. I mean, you put Tony in, right? I mean, you have to put Tony in.
Tony all day, because when we saw him playing with Shea, they were fine together. Shea's more of a two-way defenseman than a shutdown defenseman, but his shutdown game is really good. And maybe his offense will taper off, but that's where Tony will pick it up at. Like, one of the things we had a lot of difficulty with tonight was getting shots through and getting, consistent clean entries and everything. And that's one thing that Tony is really good for, is getting shots through and getting consistent clean entries.
Yeah.
I also imagine that we will be seeing Sorokin.
After that, yes, I think Sorokin goes in for the Island. If he does not play in game three and we win, he will go in game four. And then Patrick Waugh will be criticized for why didn't you play Sorokin sooner if we win game four? But yes, Sorokin game three. I expect Freddie for game three. I was wondering if Kochetkov might come in after that third goal, but. as like a shock to the team, like, hey, got to go get some goals. You're letting your goalie down. But that was the right decision not to do that. I wasn't sure how I felt about it, but I was like, okay, maybe it happens here. But Anderson definitely for game three. It'd be unfortunate if this is that serious for Pesci. But if so, you have Tony. And if Burns is to the point where he's a liability on the power play, because I think his ability to keep the puck in has been a problem on that first unit, you can go with Tony. There is nobody, and for all of his defensive liabilities, there is nobody on the Hurricanes team who has the capability and the hockey sense that he has on the blue line on a power play. That is why he is a power play specialist. I'm not going to sit here and argue and say that he is a great defenseman, because he ain't the best defenseman in the National Hockey League. He's a defensive liability at times. But don't forget, 2 years ago, this dude was one of the top defensemen who put the puck in the net and got points in the National Hockey League when he played with Jacob Slavin. So if it gets to that point, Tony can play with Slavin.
Yeah. And see, like, Tony's biggest values as a defenseman in terms of keeping the puck out of our net is making sure it stays at the other end and making sure it gets to the other end. Like I said, when it comes to consistently having clean one-man entries, making good stretch passes and everything like that, that's what Tony's for. And even as, you know, he gets burned sometimes defensively, he's not nearly as bad as a lot of people make him out to be. There's like, I will take him any day over Tyson Barry, Sean Durzi, and the list goes on.
Absolutely.
Because the gap control is kind of bad, but once he gets there, he's relentless. He'll get the stick in there and make a stick on puck play. He'll lay the body. There are plenty of other offensive defensemen in the league that would be below the list for me, below Tony.
Yeah, and look, I mean, what's great about Tony is he has had opportunities to make snarky comments, sarcastic comments, had an attitude all season, because this year hasn't gone his way. And he has not done that. He has been a team player. He has come in and played serviceable. And now it's likely he is going to come in and serviceably do his job. And I'll be honest, this could not happen to a better guy and a better player. I went to a practice once this year. None of the other players stopped to come over and talk to folks, except for Tony D'Angelo, Brendan Lemieux. Those two guys came over, walked the line, autographed everything. For everybody, and took pictures with people.
See, that brings me to something funny. One of the first episodes I ever listened to you guys, I remember you specific, or it was Sam Wallace that said it, but I remember the phrase exactly. The only two players who stopped and talked to every single fan were Brendan Lemieux and Tony D'Angelo. And people give these guys bad reputations and say things about them that are verifiably false, as you saw some of the things that I've gotten into over it online and everything like that. And so much to the point where someone said that they were going to pull my beard hairs out one by one. I was like, okay. But they've mischaracterized that guy as far as who he is as a person and who he is as a player. And
yeah,
I hate to see Brett Pesci get hurt.
Absolutely.
I really do. But I'm also kind of ready for the Tony revenge tour.
Yeah. And the opportunity couldn't happen to a greater guy who has really, truly been a team, the definition of a team player all season, right? And that's been Tony D'Angelo. Brendan Lemieux, Tony D'Angelo have been team guys all season. Their goal is to just help this team win. And if this is the case, one, let's be very clear. Pesci does not play another game in the playoffs. We'll still get his name on the Stanley Cup. He played over 40 games. That qualifies him. Tony D'Angelo, if he plays the rest of the playoffs, will also get his name on the Stanley Cup if he plays one game in the Stanley Cup Finals. So everybody wins. I know Pesci wants to play, and I wish Pesci could play, because I know he's not going to be here next year. I would be utterly shocked if he was here next season. But I would love to have seen him end his time here by playing in the Stanley Cup Final. Again, I don't know if we get there. I have more faith this year than I've ever had in years past that we can do it this year.
Especially after what we just witnessed.
And this is the other thing I want to say about this team. We're the better team over the Islanders. If you look on paper, we are the better team. And this team has done it multiple times this season where we're the better team. We didn't play well. and we won. And that is what good teams do. They find a way to win. But tonight, we were the better team the entire game. We got unlucky. The Islanders got lucky, as well as a couple skill guys found the net. But we found a way to get it done, win in regulation, shut down the Islanders, because they had like no opportunities after that power play goal. And now we're going up to Long Island, and we're going to show them what real hockey is in Long Island.
You know, it's like we had them on their heels so much that, like, when we were having those really dominant shifts where we were cycling the puck around them and everything, you know, they were saying that the Islanders were playing good defensively, which to a degree that is true. But the later the game got on, especially like with those really long sequences, like the one at the end of the second period, the longer it went on, it got to a point where they were just kind of standing there and holding the box and then waiting for the opportunity to block shots and try and clear it. There was times where it went from being them trying to like gap up and make stick on puck plays to, well, I'm just going to stand here and hope that the puck hits me. So kudos to them for putting up the effort that they did, because they did throw their kitchen sink, like I said before. But that entire game was like watching a boxing match where one guy is just standing there getting punched in the face over and over again, and he's starting to shudder a little bit more every time you hit him until he finally folds. That's what Carolina had to do tonight. They played a war of attrition on their terms, and they got it done.
All right. Predictions for game three. I know you said you think the Islanders, that is the game they take. Do you still think that they take this game even after tonight? Or do you think Carolina can sweep this?
The reason why I think that they'll still take this game is, one, we know Sorokin's going in now. There's no way that he doesn't. I'll eat my hat if Sorokin is not in net for the next game, and I will do it right here on this camera. They'll get a little bit of a boost from that, because Patrick Waugh, he's a good coach. He was a great player. He's also a great coach. He's probably had some stuff to say to them before they get on the plane. And then there's also the whole, hey, I'm putting Sorokin in net. The rest of you need to get yourselves together. And then we also have to consider, this is the last shot for a lot of these guys. Kyle Palmieri is getting up there. Cal Clutterbuck is getting up there. Matt Martin's getting up there. This is like their last chance, and they're going to be rabid, cornered animals. They're going to come out and play hard. They're going to be in front of their fans. I do expect them to win game three. I don't expect them to win game three as decisively as they did last season, but I do think that they win game three.
Yep. I think here, again, I'm holding to the sweep. I think we win. I think it's like a 2-1 kind of game, but, and I think Tony's going to come in and really be impressive. Regardless of the outcome, I expect Tony to be impressive. Because this is where he lives for this. And if the Islanders decide to try to take liberties, you may have taken out Brett Pesce, but are you really going to like what's coming with Tony D'Angelo?
No, because Tony will fight.
If you try and take liberties, that's not going to work so well with that. And let me be clear, no one took out Brett Pesce, but it was a very awkward situation. It looked awkward. It kind of looked like the situation with Pacioretty, honestly, when he just kind of skated funky and it snapped. That's kind of how that video looked too. I mean, we'll find out in probably a few hours and probably I imagine tomorrow. In the morning.
Yeah. Now, when I was watching the broadcast here, the way that he went down, and it's like, it's just like he looks like he just completely lost power on one leg. So when Griff said that, I was kind of like, that kind of lines up, because I mean, it was like you said, very similar to Pacioretty, which I hated to see what happened to him too. I wished him all the best with the Caps and everything, and I'm glad that he's stayed healthy.
Yeah, I am too. Well, Brandon, that was a vintage cardiac Kane game. I'm not giving any credit to the crappy organization that stole that name, but
no,
the Hurricanes are known for that name long before that organization came into being.
Hey, they can't be original like us where we come up with our own names and then they go and change the slogan right after I came up with mine.
Yeah, well, sounds about right, right? All right, so we had a good time. This was fun. You can tell our listeners where they can find you, and we'll wrap this up.
All righty. So I'm on X, and I'm on YouTube at The Warning Take, and I plan on as many of you guys possible, you and the guys over at Caniac Sessions, Game 3, I should have everything set up to where we can live stream. I'm going to try and finish up everything on that. So I would love for all you guys to come over there and us get together for a game three pre-stream. I'm thinking about 5 o'clock or so on Thursday. So if you want to tell everybody about that, and we'll try and do a big collab and get all of our listeners and everything in and everything like that.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. So everybody make sure you check that out on Thursday against the Islanders. Game three, the final score of tonight's game. Carolina Hurricanes 5, New York Islanders 3. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to the Caniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Caniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter at the Caniac Report. We'll see you next time.